When I was 29, I had an eating disorder. I was an over-exerciser, super restrictive eater, and I forced myself to go to therapy because I knew that I was going to be a mother someday, and that was not a baton I was going to pass along to my child. And that was the catalyst that made me walk through those doors.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe, Jamie here. Today, we're having a super honest and vulnerable conversation with Amber Lillystrom on family loss, adoption. She and I have, we use the same consultants in our adoptions. And so we go into some of that communication, and there's definitely tears on this one, trigger warning of loss. And it's really good. It's really heartfelt. And I think you guys have been asking for this one for a little while. Amber is a transformational branding strategist and business coach. She is a powerhouse. She's an author, a speaker. Her work's been featured by Forbes, Entrepreneur, and Working Mother magazine. She's appeared on countless top-rated podcasts. I know her podcast has over 100,000 downloads a month. So she's awesome and she's super sweet. I hope you enjoy. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, guys. I'm so excited to be here today.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having the time to do it, because I know you're busy. I know we want to jump into something pretty quick, but can you explain exactly what you do, how you help empower women?
Sure.
On the professional expert side.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a business coach and branding strategist. And, you know, the real heartbeat of why I do this work is because I just know that we want to have options, you know, as women, as families. We want to be able to be more available for the things that matter the most to us, especially our children, and building a work from home business that accentuates our skill set and helps us to make a really beautiful living is possible. And I'm living proof of that. And so I've just helped lots and lots of other women do that. And it's just been such a joy to do that on my journey. And so I have programs and live events and masterminds and things like that, where I get to really work intimately with female entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs who want to build businesses that change the course of history for themselves and for the people they love.
So cool. And is it anything, any industry?
Yeah, really coaching, creative service providers, consultants, folks who are definitely like doing the inner work journey for sure as well, that are, you know, really ready to kind of get out of their own way and look at their timeline and figure out why they're getting stuck along the way, and really help them work through and change the way they think so that they can create different results in their life.
Wow, that's awesome. And was this born out of your own path and your own struggles?
So I worked in collegiate athletics. I was an administrator for Division I athletic department for a decade, and I was the director of marketing and branding, and I did a lot of corporate sales, and I taught sport marketing at the university. But I was a college athlete before that. I played soccer at UNH, and then I had a near-death experience when our daughter Ani was born, whom we conceived through fertility, and we were so blessed to conceive on our first try. We did IUI, and we just didn't understand, you know, that was a really amazingly rare thing that could happen. And so I was just like, oh, we're going to go get pregnant now. And then we did. And, you know, and I had this pretty, you know, pretty copacetic pregnancy. But on the day that she was born, I ended up having an emergency C-section, and I stopped breathing on the operating room table due to a high spinal tap that froze my diaphragm. And I had this really, you know, spiritual, amazing experience that was terrifying, but also absolutely just miraculous as well. And after that, you know, it's not like that experience just was the catalyst to change everything. Motherhood was the catalyst to change everything. But I had been wanting to create my own business. I had been dabbling and looking at and studying what other people that I was learning from were doing in their own worlds. And I just knew that this, you know, 60, 70 hour a week job was not sustainable for the life that I wanted to have as a mother. I did not want to miss moments I couldn't get a do-over on with our daughter, you know. And so by the time she was 9 months, I had given my notice and launched my coaching company and replaced my income within, you know, really quickly, actually, because I just kind of had that Division I mindset. I went for it with my business and my skills, and I just started doing brand coaching. And I was doing web design and things like that too, because I just knew I needed to build my coaching skill. And so I was using all of the other skills that I had developed over all of those years. And I built the business to six figures in the first year, basically doing the nap time hustle because I was full time with our daughter, and I could only work when she was sleeping. And so Yeah. And it's been, you know, this 8-year journey now. I love that my business and my daughter are the same age. And as we'll get to, you know, we have another child now through our adoption journey, and life has just been really, it's been really beautiful. It's been quite a road to get here.
I gotta rewind on something, Amber, though. Was it the near-death experience that made you say, I want to change careers? Or was it just starting to be a mother? Or was it both? I mean, yeah. Near-death experience, they are profound, if you let
me. Yeah. I mean, I felt like I had a quantum shift in consciousness, as they say. I saw through a different lens. Like, I went back to work a few months after Ani was born, you know, after maternity leave was over. And I just couldn't do it anymore. It was like the problems and the challenges that we were faced with in our daily work life just seemed kind of trivial in some ways. And it sounds terrible to say that, you know, I'm like, I love my job and I love the people I work with, but I was like, there's just so much more to talk about. There are more things we could be doing here. We could be doing, and it just, I noticed that my skill set and my ambition and my passion, like, it just wasn't syncing up anymore. Like, I had a different view. And I would say that's a hard thing to separate, you know, honestly, because motherhood does change you on a cellular level. It makes you a different person. It makes your priorities just completely change overnight. And so I think it was a long time vision syncing up in real time with these two experiences that happened all at once. And it just made it like there was no other option. I needed to make this leap because I couldn't be all of who I was at this point now in my life journey in that job. And I needed a bigger box. You know, I needed more space. I needed a place where I was going to push myself into new edges and new levels of growth.
Got it.
Definitely. And speaking of shifts and differences in like your first pregnancy and then moving forward into having more children, I know, you know, for us, I've had 10 pregnancies and have 4 live babies. So, you know, this is something that's so real. It's not, you know, I think people sometimes look at our family and think like, oh, you must be so fertile. It's like, well, but you know, to think of all of the road that brought us here. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind sharing, we have so much in common with this motherhood journey. Would you share some of that with us?
Yeah. So, you know, after Ani was born, I was definitely really just immersed in my motherhood and also in my business building. And I knew, you know, we wanted to have another child, at least one more child. And we, after having Ani, you know, I had endometriosis, and after birthing my child, I didn't anymore. You know, like, I just didn't have any of the symptoms. And I really felt like, okay. And my doctor had said that happens sometimes for women. And it just so happened to happen for me. And so I was feeling good, you know, like normalcy in a lot of ways. And I thought, you know, maybe we can conceive. I mean, we pretty easily were able to do that in this first round of IUI. So the story in my head was, I didn't think I was infertile. I just thought, you know, okay, we're going to try. And so we tried and we tried and we tried, and I was pretty casual about it. You know, I wasn't like in any sort of rush. And, you know, things just continued to progress, and I was really busy. You know, my life was really full. I was hosting live events and things like that, and retreats, and just full, you know, and traveling with the family and doing things together, hitting lots of goals. And then in 2019, you know, I just thought, geez, this isn't really happening, you know, and Ani was born in 2013 for reference. And so I'm thinking, let's go see the doctor. You know, we went and met with him, and, you know, it was this appointment, and, you know, we know these appointments, and he just basically looked at my numbers and he was like, I wouldn't advise that you do IVF. And I just felt like the rug got completely ripped out from under me. Like, I missed out on this time. And it was just like this devastation of like, what do you mean? Like, I've been doing all this and preparing to be able to actually like afford it, you know, to be able to do this and go all in on it. And he's like, I don't think that it's going to be in your best interest. And so it leveled me, to be completely honest. It leveled me for a bunch of months, but I started working with my naturopath because the challenger in me thought, well, I'm going to work on this. You know, there've got to be aspects of this that I can work on with my health. And I turned a corner and I went back and saw him again maybe a little under a year later. And he said, I don't know how you changed your numbers, but your numbers are better. And so now I think we can do IVF. And I was like, you're darn right, we're going to do IVF. And so in the start of 2021, you know, I just knew like I was turning 40 in 2021, and I did not want to regret not going for it. And I was in this body. And I will also say this, there's always been a little bit of a thought bubble after the birth pregnancy experience, you know, that birth, there still was a lot of fear. And I had a ton of complications after the C-section, like abscesses and infections, and my stomach stopped working. And it was just, it was really tumultuous in my postpartum experience. And I know my body kept score on that and had memories of that. So I'm just sort of seeding that in there. So then, you know, we went forward in January of 2021 with IVF. The first round was not successful, unfortunately. And we just immediately were like, okay, we're just going to try again and work on the momentum of this. And we really kind of threw everything at it. They went for like the maximum levels of hormones and all this. And it was really, really intense. And we ended up getting more eggs than they even thought possible, which was miraculous. And they ended up transferring 2 embryos, and we did get pregnant. And so we were absolutely thrilled, you know, and, by the time we got to when we were going to our first ultrasound, unfortunately, we couldn't find a gestational sac anywhere. And even though I was still testing positive, there wasn't any sign of a growing healthy baby. And so that quickly became one of the worst days of my life. And there's a lot inside of that story, but just this enormous wave of grief and this knowing, you guys, that really tapping into my body. And after what I had just gone through with these 2 IVF cycles and all of the stuff in between, and just realizing like, I can't ask this of this body, you know, like I want to be a mother to the daughter that I have. And I'm like in pieces right now. I wasn't okay after the loss. And of course I had a miscarriage and had to go through that. And just the after grief that a body goes through in losing a pregnancy. And yeah, so that was that. And, you know, within, I would say a month of that loss, Ben and I, you know, just like on our knees and weary. I remember one morning I was early and I was looking, scrolling through my phone. And I don't know how I got on this track, but this woman came across my profile and or on my screen, and she had adopted through a consultant, you know, not an agency, but a consultant, that I started to just get into that Instagram, like reading all the things and looking and connecting all the dots and just thinking, this is interesting. And we had talked about adoption, of course, you know, we had over the years, but it was like, we have to at least try this. And way before we felt ready, we scheduled a phone call with our consultants and said yes that day to sign on with them, and then gave ourselves full permission to just do nothing, you know, just to like take our time, not be in a rush, go through the process with our hearts in our hands, you know, still in this place of like major, major grief and just feeling like, how could this not be, when we felt, I always knew that I would have at least one other child. And so we were just kind of sitting in the hole of that, but also knowing that the pull was so strong that we had to say yes to this, even if we had no idea how we were going to do it and if we even could. So I'll pause there.
Great. And isn't it interesting? You know, you mentioned earlier about how you experience things and like the rest of the world is still in their like 3D existence. Yes. Of like, yeah, thinking about their screen doors or like, yeah, heart having a wonky foot or whatever. And you think like, you guys have no idea, like I'm in the process of like losing my baby right now, or I just lost $55,000 on IVF treatments. And that was, that could have gone for, you know, it's such
absolutely. Yeah. All of the above, you know, I just thought like how much we invested in trying to have our child, you know, it's just like, and I would do it a million times over, of course, but these are all real things. You know, these are real things that I think giving voice to is important, right? Not to just like gloss over it, because even those things are hard. You know, those are additionally challenging aspects that we have to look at. But I also think the choice to create a business that can expand and grow in relationship to what my vision is and what I'm wanting to create in the world, including my family, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think building these kinds of businesses it's such an amazing choice, because it really can support the vision that you have for your life.
Now, how did your relationship with your husband change and shift and shape as you two were experiencing this together, and as he was having to be your big support, and then along with that, your daughter watching, you know?
Yeah.
How did you navigate and how did those things change?
Yeah. I mean, I think Ben and I have such an intimate relationship in an emotional way. You know, we talk about every single thing, every single facet. We don't hold back in what is real for us, you know, and I'm so grateful. You know, we always say he's sort of the rock to my roll. And so that's just who he is. And I'm a rock when he needs to roll, which is far less than how much I roll. So, you know, he is that steady presence. And we both had to grieve in our own ways, and we were both available for each other through that process. And I think one of the cool things about the adoption journey was that, you know, of course we took our time with it, but once we signed on with the consultancy, we were receiving cases pretty regularly, even though we weren't in a situation to be able to apply for them yet because we weren't home study approved. But it gave us this doorway of hope, and it gave us things to talk about, to say, like, what are we okay with, and what doesn't feel good to us, and what it just like stoked the fire of our dream together, because we both so deeply wanted to grow in our family in that way. And so it just brought us together even more intimately, and we got to see different facets of each other through this experience that, you know, we wouldn't have had otherwise. And then with our daughter, you know, there wasn't anything that we didn't share with her. She was part of it. She was there like putting Band-Aids on my, you know, where I had my cuts, or not my cuts, my shots. And, you know, she was like, would bring her stuffies over and be like, hold this, mom, you know, like it's going to hurt, you know, just so sweet and so supportive and so positive throughout the whole thing. Like when we told her we were pregnant, you know, we didn't keep that from her. She was over the moon excited. And I think what we were able to show her was like resiliency and show her what grief looks like, and that it's okay to feel the full spectrum of your human emotions and to let yourself go there. So I didn't hide things from her. Certainly I was sensitive to where she was with things, but yeah, you know, it's been the most rewarding thing in the entire world, getting to witness her being a big sister. That is for sure. Yeah.
It's so cool. I think a lot of people hide emotions, big emotions and big concepts from their children.
Yeah.
I think that when we're dealing with emotion that, you know, or things that affect our heart, I think that it's beautiful to share.
Because
otherwise your children think, oh, well, am I abnormal because I have these feelings and I've never seen mom or dad feel them.
Right. Exactly. And I think Ben grew up like that. I think that my husband's family, the emotional spectrum was not demonstrated. And that's actually been a big part of his inner work, is just learning how to feel and feel safe to feel and know that it's okay. And that's been a risk, a daring greatly kind of risk he's had to step into. And I've shared with him, you know, like, especially now you have a son, it's so important that he sees you in your emotion and feeling it and being in the complexity of that. You know, it's just, it's so incredibly vital. And so Ani certainly sees me in the full, you know, jungle gym of emotion all the time. I'm very open about that with her and explain to her, you know, when things are coming through. I was crying the other night where our cat was sick, and I was just, he's 17 and he's been with me for 17 years. And I just was like, Ben was taking the emergency vet and I was just crying. She was so sweet. And I just said to her, I was like, you know, honey, like I've had him for like almost half my life. You know, this cat is, he's like a baby to me, you know, I'm like, he was here 10 years before you were, you know? And she was like, okay. And of course ran and grabbed her stuffy and brought it to me. It's like her way of knowing how to comfort me. And it's just so sweet, you know, like it's just so sweet to let her do that, right? To like, let her see someone having an emotional experience and then think about, oh, this comforts me. So maybe this will help mom. And she went and gotten this little black cat that looks kind of like the cat. It was just so thoughtful, you know? And then I got to just say to her, you know, like, that's so meaningful. Thank you for that.
Awesome.
Letting our children have opportunities to experience empathy through
yes.
like that is yes. so huge, because they love giving, and
they do.
Opportunities to see that is really powerful.
Yeah. Well, and I think going back to the emotional part you were talking about with your husband, we were almost taught not to show that.
Right.
We've had some pretty powerful interviews, unfortunately, with people that have lost their child to suicide, and they said, I never showed emotion. So I think by the time they felt emotion, they felt it was so foreign that, and so that's something I've really worked on, is to say, you know, I remember there was an episode of Friends with Bruce Willis. I don't know if you remember that episode, and showing the emotion, and then Monica convinced him, and then he cried about everything. So there was like that funny, like other side. Yeah. So it's like shows the other side, but to admit, yeah, I'm feeling really frustrated. I'm feeling really overwhelmed.
Yes.
And it's been powerful, because then when they feel that, they don't feel foreign. It's been
yes.
big work though.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I believe we have such a gift for a million and one reasons being parents, but I think that's actually one of them, because there's an accountability level for this personal development work, this healing work that we need to do individually. And the stakes are higher on it. You know, I just knew, I mean, back in when I was 29, I had an eating disorder. I was an over-exerciser, super restrictive eater. And I forced myself to go to therapy because I knew that I was going to be a mother someday. And that was not a baton I was going to pass along to my child. And so, and that was the catalyst that made me walk through those doors. it wasn't really for me. I was not in a place to be able to do that for myself back then, but I was able to do it for my future child. And so I love that so much because it's worth it. And, you know, the benefits are we then get to give ourselves compassion and empathy in ways that wasn't really modeled for us. And if the doorway is looking at our child and then saying, yeah, it's worth it to do it for you, we go through the process of understanding it's worth it to go for us as well.
Absolutely. I love that example. And now you and I actually had the same consultant, which is so small world crazy. And they're in my hometown, in our hometown.
That's right. Yes.
It's not who we matched through. We actually matched through a local attorney. But what was so interesting about the journey and that you referenced was you started to see these cases. And I think this is something that when people think of adoption, they think of it as being so great and wonderful. And we didn't share publicly for a while. And we kind of kept a lot of our pieces quiet because we got comments like, oh, that's so good. Or, oh, they've hit the family jackpot. Or, and it's like,
yeah,
like this is born out of something really sad and, and broken. And the best day of my life is the worst of somebody else. You know, it's just, it's a really,
it's so bittersweet and complex. Yes. Yes.
There's so many emotions and there's so much goodness and beauty to it. But us, just like you, like I wasn't necessarily doing it to be a good person, you know?
No, not at all.
And we have a beautiful relationship with our daughter's mother. And that ended up being such an incredible blessing, but we wanted a daughter. Like we were looking for a child the same way that, that you were. And as that door started to peek open and we started to receive cases, I mean, it broke me. I don't know if you had the same experience, but I would see things come across and I'd get excited. I'd look, I'd be like, oh shit. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Exactly.
And
yes.
The next day I didn't think about that, you know, and then I would come and to process it. I'd go and I would tell Jim and I would tell our big boys. I'm like, you have no idea what's happening outside, you know, and we do service work in all other countries. We've been an orphanage, like we've done foster care. And yet I was still really shocked and surprised. And I really had to prepare my heart every time I opened one of those things.
Me too.
You know, and I really thought, wow, a work is being done in me to hold compassion and space and to make a platform much like yourself on bringing awareness to the bittersweet process and dance of what's happening in someone else's life as we're rejoicing in our own. So how was that process for you once you got home study approved? Because
in
2021, we're just in 2022 and I know your baby's a few months old. So how quickly did everything start moving for you?
So the end of November 2021 was when we were officially home study approved. And we actually had a case in New Hampshire that popped up that wasn't related to our consultant and from our social worker through those guys who did our home study. And they called us and they were like, there's a baby boy and he's going to be born. And so we were actually set up to meet them. And we were so overwhelmed because we were like, we just finished this paperwork. Like it was still on her desk when she was calling me to say, like, I would put you through. I will like finish this. It was that fast. And the day that we were meant to go meet them and it was birth parents, so it was both the father and the mother, she went into labor. And so Ben and I just kind of knew like that night we were supposed to go meet them. And then my dad was here to watch our daughter and we had been homeschooling at the time. And we were like all dressed and ready to go. And then they called and they're like, you're not going to believe this, but they called us and asked us questions about circumcision and choices that we wanted to make for our child, you know? And so we were like, wow, I don't know, but something in our gut, both of us just kept looking at each other. And we're like, I don't feel like this is our baby. I just don't feel, I feel like they're going to parent. I feel like something's going to happen. And then within 24 hours, a little over that, they did choose to keep their baby. And we were overjoyed for that. We were like, that is the best news, you know? And of course there was a little part of us that was a little like, oh, okay. You know, like we were excited. And, but also like, this is the grace of it all, right? Like this little boy is not going to have this story. He's going to have his parents. And that they chose. It was just, it was so meaningful. So the beat goes on and we crossed over into 2022 and you know, we were definitely, you know, we had all these sort of fears like, oh, well, you know, our consultancy's in Florida. Like, is there going to be a birth mom that's going to want to have their baby up in New Hampshire? You know, like maybe this isn't the right choice. And we were all over the board with all the thoughts. And, you know, there's that sort of like quiet time where there are no cases from like January to February, which they said, you know, traditionally occurs. And so we were just trying to be as patient as we could be because now we were like ready, you know, we're like, and now there are no cases. But then something kind of shifted for us in the end of February into March. And I realized like I was still kind of keeping the back door open that like this wasn't going to happen. And I was just kind of leaning into fear more than I was into the belief that it was. And I just made this decision. I said to Ben, like, we just have to believe in our baby without any conditions, without having to know how, without any control. We just have to completely let go. We just have to say yes to what comes through. And of course, like, you know, there were some cases that we weren't able to say yes to because they weren't a fit or whatever, but we're just going to say yes, you know, and let God figure out the rest. And so in March of 2022, we were in Florida for a retreat I was hosting for my clients. And then we stayed in Florida on a little vacation. We stayed down there for another 10 days or so. And then we got home on March 12th at like 1 a.m. There's like all these flight delays. There were big storms in New England. We were so tired. We got home at 1 a.m, didn't unpack, just went to bed. And then woke up the next day and there was a case and it was for a little girl. And remember, she was in Nashville. And we were like, oh, wow, this is a yes. And I like felt this feeling in my body that morning of like, something's going to happen. And I remember I texted my best friend and I just told her, I had one friend that I was just kind of like, she was there for me when I would talk to her about some of these things that were going on, because it was such a, you know, vulnerable thing to be just doing by yourself, you know? And so my best friend, she was so supportive in the whole journey. And then later that afternoon, I had gone to the grocery store, bought like, you know, all the groceries, got the house back online. We're home. Okay. The pets had been returned from my parents' house. And then we get this, I get a text from Kristen, our consultant. She said, check your email. There's something in here you need to look at. And there was a case and it was a mother, birth mother, who was specifically asking for an adoptive mother that looked like similar to her. And also this was the stork drop. And so the baby was here. He was born in the morning. And oh, I could just like weep saying this to you guys, because, you know, fast forward, that was our son, you know, that was Alex. And so they called us the next day and we were back in Florida 48 hours later, back on the plane, flying into Tampa. And we met our son on March 15th and, you know, have a beautiful connection with both of his parents, his bio parents. They were both there, which was really special, you know, to have that gift of getting to know them both. And we're still in connection. And, you know, when we go to finalization, when that happens, we'll get to see them again and have them see him. And, you know, it's just been, it's been just a whirlwind, a miraculous journey, but all of the emotions in between, as you alluded to, every single one on the rainbow.
So amazing. Yeah. And that path is incredible. And it's funny how you're like, I just knew something was different here.
I just knew it. I felt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally went and took a picture of myself. His Alex's bedroom was our guest room at the time. And I went in the room, I took a picture of myself because I just knew like our baby's coming. I just felt it. And I sat in the room and I sent the picture to my best friend. And I was just like,
we're
like
here.
That day, like the day, not even knowing, you know, that was going to happen. And it's just, when you look back at it, of course, as these things happen, it's just so unbelievable, you know, when you tap into it. But at the same point, you know, I feel this deep responsibility and devotion to his mom, you know, and to that choice that she made. And, you know, she gave us an incredible gift and we met with them before we went back. Well, we ultimately, when we were in Florida, we chose to spend the back half of our time over back on the Gulf Coast where our friends are and our favorite place. We were in Tampa for a couple of days and then we were like, this hotel room we're going to die. So we need to go somewhere else, have a change of scenery. Cause you know, you can't leave the state until ICPC goes through. And, we went and had coffee with her and she brought this baby book and she started writing a letter to him in it. And, she wrote in it, you know, I knew from the moment that I was pregnant with you that I was going to place you for adoption. And, you know, just like,
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was so grateful to know that information so that I could really know her story. And not just the one that I was kind of piecing together in my head, but I, you know, the way that I love him is my love for my son, but it's also this deep devotion to her, you know, and to this promise to love him with everything I have.
Yeah. Something that I think Jim's talked about before and even wrote articles for, did you feel any different receiving your son than you did receiving your daughter?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the circumstances are so different. I bonded with Ani for 9 months. I knew her name. I talked to her every day. I felt her in my body. I knew her personality before she was in my arms. So I think that there was that's one piece of the puzzle. I felt like with Alex, I wanted to get to know him. You know, I wanted to meet him. I wanted him to take his time and in being who he was. I wanted to fall in love with him in that way. And I did immediately. It was never a question. I know that that's one of those things sometimes adoptive parents will talk about. And there wasn't any delay in that love. When I think back about how I was mothering him in those early, he was a little bit premature as well. He didn't go to the NICU, blessedly, but he was really little, you know, and he had really big needs. He was so tiny. But the love was instantaneous, you know, for him. And which I would say, you know, I wasn't sure if that was going to happen in that same way. You know, I really wasn't sure, but it did. And so that it was different, but the love was at the same velocity, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because just a bit of our story, if you didn't know. So Jim, when he came into our life, he fell in love with me and my two boys that I had full custody of. And so people kept telling him, just wait till you have your own. Just wait till you have your own. It'll be different. Just wait till you have your own. And when they arrived, I mean, I don't mean to speak over you.
No, I never quite understood that. I was going, my own. Yeah. I already have two adopted sons. And they're like, but it'll be different. And now having two more biological since then, the arrival process different, obviously.
Yes.
The result, same. And that's why I kept going. Yeah. More like, and I think that's, I call it the second place myth of adoption, where I think people actually think, oh yeah, I would consider adoption, but it's really like I'm going from a Cadillac to like Austin Healey,
isn't that just crazy?
But that's the whole point I think I had, where I'm like, gosh, I don't even think about it unless people ask to separate out the pieces.
No,
and I think that's the myth around adoption, like, oh yeah,
such a myth,
separate path to.
Oh, that just makes my heart just want to break open. It's like. The love. I mean, and you know, it's been so amazing. I'm such a crier, you guys. So just bear with me if that happens.
If you and I were here alone and we were just jamming,
we'd just be sobbing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just like, keep it together, Lily Estrom. Having Alex meet our family has been just like the most incredible thing. Like Ben's sister got to meet him for the first time because they came up in April. They live in Connecticut and we all had COVID. So we were like, we couldn't see them. They came to meet him at Easter. We all were sick. So they met him through a window, waving through the window, but when he was really actually quite little still. And so they came yesterday and I just cried, you know, like watching her delight in him and him delight in her. And it's like, he's our family. He belongs here. There's not an iota of that. My parents, like the second my dad met him, he was like, I love you so much already. Like just everybody just loves him so much. And it's like, yeah, you know, we made this promise to this boy as a family and to his mother and to his father. And he is our family. He is our son. We are forever devoted to him. And he has this beautiful story and he will know every part of it.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
I tell, because for us.
And that just shows that my feeling of this second place myth of adoption, you just proved it right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
For us, you know, we have four other children besides Gloria is our daughter, who is most recent. And I'm not shy to tell all of them. I'm like, she's my favorite. Like, sorry, I know I'm not allowed to, but like, she's my favorite. And I know and not really, but she's my different. If that means like, she's the one that wasn't promised to us.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. And I think that you feel the same way with the boy. It's like, this was like a different kind of gift. Not that my other children were easier one, or that path wasn't broken as well, or that there wasn't, but like, I don't know. It's just a different becoming. And it was really like, I just literally feel like she was the exclamation point.
I love that. Sweet Gloria. Yes. Yes.
So I've just, thank you for sharing so openly and vulnerably.
Yeah, of course.
And I even think there may be a part two to this where you and I just completely jam out on our step-by-steps, because I don't know about you, but I currently have a list of folks that I do like a webinar on how to prepare and go to adoption.
Yes.
There's so many people that are now interested.
Yeah. I've helped a friend recently. I sent her a copy of our letter because she was like, I just don't even know what to do. I was like, here's my letter. You know, take a look at this. This is what I did. This would help frame it for you. And she matched immediately.
Wow.
So, you know, and my consultant asked right when I wrote the letter, she said, can I share this with other adoptive families as an example? I was like, of course, you know, if it's helpful, absolutely. So, you know, I think, you know, I do think there's obviously like kismet in it and the soul connections and all these things that happen. But, and I know that Ben and I made a decision consciously to just say, you know, like to be all in, let our hearts be all in, no matter what that meant. And that was a huge shift, you know, that shift created a different momentum and a different energy and a different connection. I just know that to be true. We were just absolutely ready. And you know, then when we got the call, we were like calling our friends. We're like, bring me things for babies. I don't even know what that means right now. You know, we had literally like less than 8 hours. We were on a plane in 8 hours, you know, the next morning, you know, we left our house at 1:45 in the morning to drive to Providence to get on a plane, to be there for them to sign the paperwork. And, you know, I was like, you know, Ben was like, we can get there after. I was like, we need to be there when the sun comes up. Like, I need her to know that we are here. I don't care if I have to like hitchhike my way there. Like I need her to know that we are all in, that we are here, that she doesn't have to worry.
Yes, yeah. It was all taken care of for her.
Yeah.
And just one more moment of your time, Amber, but
yeah.
You know, what's so amazing in listening to your story, and I know our story as well, is that sometimes we're shown what no is so that we can recognize what yes is.
Yeah.
Is that like listening?
Yeah.
Like, wow, it's so obvious in your story too.
Yes. You know,
we think like, oh, okay, well, we'll try IVF. We did the same thing. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that, you know, that road like was bumpy. We're overcomers, right? We're like, oh, but we got this. We got,
do the whole thing, right?
We did it. Okay. Well, yeah, we were superlative at our numbers, but that didn't mean that we weren't meant to overcome that hurdle.
Yes.
And then, you know, and then you keep finding roadblocks, but then when it was so easy, you know, and
yeah, it really was.
Once you got to the yes, it was,
but you just have to keep turning stones. You know, you just have to stay with it. In the spirit of what that vision is. And so whoever is listening to this, and maybe you have a weary heart, you know, and you're in that place, it's just keep going, you know. Don't let the dream of our son is what got us here. And we were just decided to not give up on it and to not have an out. And, you know, I just knew the grief that I felt when Ani went back to school in September of 2021. We ended up pulling her in October and started doing homeschool. But when she went back to school and I was home alone here to do my work, I just couldn't even function. I was like, my motherhood is incomplete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So trust those feelings, trust those waves, because they're there for a reason. They're there to tell you what is next and where you need to go.
They're big reminders. Oh, and
yes.
Proud of you for honoring yourself.
Thank you. You too. You too, you guys. So beautiful.
I just kept feeling like our table wasn't full, you know,
and yeah.
Down the road, I'd always feel like someone was missing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been saying that a lot lately too. And Ben just looks at me like, okay. I'm like, I don't know, honey. You know, I don't know. I just love babies. I love children. I love being a mom. You know, it is the greatest joy of my life. So
yeah. Where can people hear more about you, Amber? Where can we connect people to you?
Yeah, thanks. I'm at amberlilystrom.com. I'm on Instagram at amberlilystrom. And I have a podcast called The Amber Lilystrom Show. So come on over and connect. I would love to connect with you guys.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being so vulnerable and taking time to share your stories. And gosh, there's so many other things we could have gone on, but thank you for jamming on this. Such a
absolutely. It's my joy.
This was beautiful.
Thank you both.
Thanks, Amber.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.